Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Hi everyone, I'm Ji Zheng.
Hi, I'm Stephanie, or affectionately known as Xia. Yeah, so if you hear Xia or Stephanie interchangeably, it's actually referring to me. So both of us are working in the financial industry. We dated for 8 years, and we have been married for 2 years.
Oh, hello. My name is Michelle. I'm a teacher by training, but I'm currently not teaching in a school. I am serving my posting at a HQ at the moment. Yeah, so I'll leave my husband to introduce himself.
Okay, everybody calls me Pastor Vic last time, but now you can call me Victor, okay? Change already. Right, really happy to be back. I think a lot of you know me. Really happy to come back here. So last few years, I set up my own company, been doing training, you know, for companies and schools, and I've been enjoying that journey so far. So very happy to be here. So just now they shared that they dated for, 8 years? We can't remember. I think roughly maybe six?
No, five.
Oh, sorry. fail.
How long have you been married?
I don't know. Close to 10 years, right? Must give an estimate. How many years?
This year, 10 years.
Okay. Sorry, I don't remember such things.
Okay, now I know that you briefly mentioned about, you know, how your number of years getting married and all that, but can we just ask that y'all can share more about how y'all got together? So introduce us to us yourself, to us more about yourselves, like how y'all got together, you know, basically your love story lah. Right? Who wanna go first?
Okay, so our love story started in 2003. So we met in 2003 because we were in a cell group together, but we weren't close. And then in 2004 we were in the same JC. 2006, that's when we got together, and then we dated for about 8 years before we got married, and we've been married for the last 2 years. I'll let her say a little bit more of the love story because she'll give the right story anyway.
Yeah, so actually we met, we knew, I mean, like what he said, we were in the same cell group, but we didn't talk much because those were the times where, like, girls...
She was Miss Popular, and then I was the loner in the corner, and I didn't want to mix around with anyone else.
Yeah, so, but yeah. Those were the times where, like, girls talking to girls are cool, right? Girls talking to guys is, like, so not cool. So, you know, we just hung out on our own with our own friends, but actually the place that got us to know each other a lot better was when we were in JC and we were in Camp Com together. So, incidentally, Vic was actually the camp commander.
I brought them together, basically.
So, yeah, he was the camp commander, and Mitch was actually the admin IC, and I was the admin person under Michelle. So, I mean, naturally, you know, we got to know each other a lot better as a group. I mean, Pastor Peter was also there in the camp com. We got to know each other as a group, and so it was natural that when we got together, we wanted someone we knew, that knew both of us as individuals and as a couple, to kind of like, yeah, to talk to, yeah.
And I think, one thing that I think I should have said was, out of the 8 years that we were together, 4 years of which I was studying overseas in the US, and then of course the guys go through army and all that after JC. So actually, during that time, it was very good to have someone that we could talk to, and then we found that in Vic and Michelle and also other friends. That's more or less our love story in a nutshell.
So moral of story, must join Camp Coma. Okay, how about Vic and Mitch?
I think we met when we were in uni. Like, it was also cell. We were in cell. At that time, I think cell were just multiplying very rapidly. So we were in the same cell group for like maybe 3 sessions, and then we multiplied. But I think we got to know each other then. Then I think we probably got to know each other a lot better 2002 onwards, I think. The significance of the year was that I think that time within KUS, the missions movement was picking up a lot, and there was a lot of activity surrounding it. So we met a lot, we interacted a lot, and I think it was on that contact. We went on a trip with a team, to Myanmar. So that's how I first got to know him and worked with him a lot more and found things that I liked and disliked at that point. Yeah, but I think it started then. And I think about a year later, when? 2003? Around then, about, yeah. We started dating and for after about 5 years, 2007, got married. And we've been married since then. Yeah. So we have two kids now. After 9 years, yes. So I think that we might, in the course of answering further questions, we'll talk a little bit more about how we developed how we develop as individuals, as a couple as well. So that's basically the chronological history of how we got together. Yeah.
I give you the juicy part, right? From her end, yeah, so she thinks that from my end, I first knew Michelle, right, because I had this friend who was going after her. And then in church, then I was like, hey, Vic, help me. Who you want to go after? Yeah, so that's how I know the existence of this girl called Michelle.
Existence.
Yeah. So I helped my friend, but he didn't make it, you see. So that's how I first knew her existence. Then, which she never filled in also, after I got into kind of like a very, we call it a complicated relationship.
Not with somebody else.
Yes, the somebody else who she happened to be the cell leader of.
Very scandalous.
Yeah. So that's how I feel like I met, you know, because everything is through another person. Everything I know about Michelle is through other people. But which is right, when we first got to really know one another, it was more like during a time where we both were, I think we go for a mission trip together and we really knew each other from then. Before that, I was in the kind of the same campus ministry. Just like a nobody. Okay? She's cell leader, a nobody. Yeah. But it's okay lah. that's the juicy part. Okay.
So first is Chemcom, second is mission trip. Okay, moving on. Okay, moving on to the next question. Why don't you share with us, as you look back on your courtship days, what are some of the positive things you feel has strengthened your relationship?
Okay, we'll start first for this one. I think just looking back, what we felt was very helpful. I think just coming from what we were saying just now, I think at that point in time, as we look back, what really helped was that we had a common area of interest at that stage of our lives. I'm not saying that you need to have a common interest and it's not a foolproof situation. We're just sharing that was our experience, okay? We had a common interest at that point in time, a common idea of what we wanted to invest our time in, our energies on. And incidentally, that area of interest, which was missions, which was wanting to be discipled, happened to be a very edifying topic. So you know, when you talk to each other, you will talk a lot more about that topic. And you inevitably, not in a very intentional way, but very inevitably, you started to build one another up in very subtle ways. Yeah. So I think on hindsight, that might have been what was very positive about it. And I need to have a disclaimer here. It wasn't like we spoke holy day in and out. It wasn't like that. It was this was one of the things that helped. There were, of course, other challenges along the way. But we discussed, actually, we didn't talk about this until now, this session. We discussed and we felt that was one of the things that was very helpful for us. Yeah.
Okay, I guess for my end, it's, I agree. I think we didn't really, have some kind of guideline or anything, but I think as individuals, there were things that we were personally after, and at that point, I know that something that I really wanted to do was to really grow deeper in understanding what does a disciple mean, and I know that at that point, I was a Christian for many years, but I never had that kind of desire. I think it was that season that I grew. And then I have a common group of friends who had that kind of desire. And Michelle was in that common group. And I think that, so we were talking about it, it's actually that really helped. And so it's not a common goal that was identified in a sense. And then we started towards that. It's more like a common goal that started from the individual. So I think that was something that I realized. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that common group of friends actually made a very huge impact. I think it really helped that, I mean, you have positive people around you and they really wanted to grow and then you just hung out with them. And those common group of friends knew us both. And it's like, till this day, we still know them and we keep in touch. We don't see each other every week now, like, you know, like now, for like you, as you serve in you meet like every week, right? Like you see each other like nonstop. We used to have that at that, we were at that age, like every week we met, but now we don't do that anymore. But I think we still meet up like on occasions, and I think it's very easy to pick up from where you left off just because you had a depth of relationship then. Yeah.
I think for us, like you heard from Jizheng that out of the 8 years that we dated, he was actually away for 4 years, and because we're the same age in Singapore, you know, all the guys have to go army, the girls will go uni. So what happens is that first 2 years, I'm in uni trying to battle with all my studying, being a very hardworking person. I'm like, no, exam time, I need to study. But then he'll be in NS and like, he'll try to get me out. So I mean, there's a lot of differences in thinking and in like the life, the experience that we're going through. Then after which he was overseas for 4 years. And the last 2 years, I started working. And it's another new encounter being, you know, to work because it's just different expectations. You meet, the hours are different, and he was actually in the US when we were 15 hours apart, and it was really very difficult to communicate. So I mean, we went through a lot of rough patches, because different expectations, miscommunication, I'm too tired, I don't want to talk. So to me, one thing that was very helpful was actually having someone to talk to, because Mitch and Vic kind of helped us a lot. We went through a lot of rough patches, and we actually needed someone who can explain, kind of be a translator or interpreter, like, what is he thinking about, you know? Because I'll be in my own world, like, I'm so sad, I'm so angry, I'll just talk about my problem. But then I don't know what he's thinking, so it's like, this weird alien thinking his own thing, and I'm thinking my own thing, and, you know, they're just there to help us to explain, actually, in his shoes, what he's thinking about. Maybe he means something else. So having that, you know, the person who is older than us, who kind of gone through the whole uni and working experience, actually helped us to mend back a lot of times. I think if really not for them, we wouldn't be here happily married. Yeah.
And I think it's quite different, right? When you have an older friend. Like say 5-6 years. I'm not sure how old they are, but say 5-6 years older. There's already a hit, and that's very different from talking to like say your parents. Like we all know here that you know there are some things that you just don't want to tell your parents. Likewise, you might not want to tell your siblings. So it's always nice that we already had that relationship going, we had that friendship going. So whenever we had issues or whenever we just wanted to talk to someone. Whether it's something good or something bad, we already had someone to talk to. And I think one example that Stephanie was mentioning was when she started work, and then I was still in school. I was wrapping up my final 2 years in uni. I just couldn't understand why she couldn't make the time, whereas she, on the other hand, couldn't understand why I couldn't understand why I couldn't understand why. I'm getting confused. She couldn't understand why I couldn't understand that she was so busy. So I think having Vic to talk to, kind of like translating the things that she was saying to them, helped a lot. So just having someone else to bounce our thoughts off with, and also someone to help to communicate in a different way, really helped a lot. And for us, one of the other things that to go back to the question, one of the other things that helped us a lot was having the right mindset. Because I think having good friends is good and it's critical. But what's also very equally critical is having, you know, the humility and also the willingness to listen to people like that. So that helped us a lot. And one other thing that I think helped us a lot also that Michelle mentioned earlier was having a common group of friends. So whenever I came back from the US, I would always hang out with our cell group. We would hang out together, four of us. We would travel together. So I think relationships are built on shared memories, shared moments together. So not just two people together, but also in a community. So, you know, when we travel together, when we, you know, have dinner together, when there's a lot of laughter and there's a lot of things that we can look back upon. And so now, having been in a relationship for quite a few years and being married for 2 years, we still look back and we still smile, we still laugh. And that really helped a lot, our marriage now. Yeah.
I just want to qualify something that, it wasn't like they got together and then they came and looked for us and then the relationship blossomed. I think we had pre-existing relationships. Like, I knew Sia as an individual. Vic knew Tita. I kind of knew Tita in a very informal way, nothing formal. Actually, I don't really know how it's the Chemcom, right? Yeah, I don't really know how I know them. Like, I think it was the Chemcom, pretty much. But I think it's quite organic in that way. You kind of, like, cannot... Okay, like in my opinion, like, you might not want to, like, conjure it. It's like, you're a couple, you have to find another couple. I mean, that's great, but I think if it's not that organic, sometimes it's you're going to find a little bit of difficulty, like, hey, why like that? Like, I'm not getting anything out of this, and in fact, it's a bit more burdensome than helpful. Yeah, so...
I mean, but by that, it's actually because we clicked, you know? You can't... If you find someone that you like... How come that person doesn't seem to understand me or so? You won't be able to talk through your issues because you have very different thinking. But we knew each other as individuals. So we knew that as a couple, we can talk to them. And they will know that our intentions, or rather the things that we don't say. Because we can say what we think, but they actually know us beforehand. And they know that, you know, this how we driven, how our thoughts flow and... it's the things that when we're angry and we don't say, they actually know what we're thinking about. Yeah, and it helped.
Actually, I want to add something. Like, you know, I seen the two of them, the long-distance relationship. Wow, I have the memories, okay?
Very drama.
Very drama. One. But I must say this, I don't know what I say to them before. But I think that's the turning point came when I felt, okay, I don't know much from Michelle, talk with Sia a lot. But there was a, I don't know, was second year?
Fourth year.
Huh?
Third to fourth
year. Third year. Like suddenly, Jitong became very serious with God. Very, like almost like, wow. Like, wow, this guy like suddenly wisen up already. I still, you know, we still talk lah. But suddenly like he came from overseas, came back, right? And it's like, you feel like you're talking to another person, no? I was like, wow, change already. That was when I sensed that, wow, this one got hope. No longer like just, we all pray a lot, no? We're like, oh, God, you hold them together, but if they don't, I'm like, wow, but it's your will. Because it was really sometimes we felt a bit like,
no
drunk.
Point, yeah. Huh? One point is like, what's the whole point of this, man?
Yeah, yeah, half the time we're like saying, I was telling her, hey, ask ya dumb zi zheng la.
Okay, we know.
Luckily, didn't. Yeah.
Actually, I did. Honestly, I say once. Okay, I say once. The time I was like, "Wow, this guy better buck up his idea."
Yeah, I think it is also because we're same age, right? So guys is like usually not as mature as the girls at the same age.
Well, I didn't say that.
But I mean, everybody's different. I'm just saying a very generic statement doesn't mean it's always true. But like. Yeah.
Our views are a little bit more biased, I must say, because Sia was in Singapore and so were we. We don't know what the heck happened in, like, US. Like, I'm sure Tito was crying and all that. Sia came to our house, she cried, buckets, okay? Cry and cry and cry. But then after that, we told Tito, do you know that she did all that? And he said, I cry, you also don't know, right? Yeah. Yeah, so he defended himself. Like, but I think the long and short of it is that it was quite helpful that there was some safe space
that
I think,
yeah.
Right? Safe enough, right? At least, yeah.
Do you think so? That the turning point, the
I think
transformation?
I agree with Vic. In a very limited viewpoint.
Let me qualify. so well.
You were always holy, is it?
So yes.
Deep down inside.
I was holy, but I was just pretending to be worldly.
Unholy.
Unholy. No, let me qualify two things. So earlier, Sia mentioned that girls tend to mature faster than guys, and I would actually agree with that. And I don't think it's because guys are stupid or we develop slower, our brains are smaller or whatever. But it's simply because girls go through the phase of life faster, because in Singapore, because they go through guys go through army for 2 years, and then that naturally puts us behind for 2 years. So the way we think is different. Whereas girls, once they graduate, when they're 23, right? Something around 23, they're already thinking of like working. If they're in a relationship, they'll be thinking of probably, you know, marriage. But the guys, I'll be in the middle of second year, third year of school. I still want to party. I don't care about all that stuff. So I'll agree, like, guys in a way mature a little bit slower than girls. So that's what I want to say. Then the second statement about, you know, me waking up, it's a long story, and happy to talk about it another time. But essentially, during my college years, I felt I met God in a much more deeper way, in a real, more real way. And that happened around the second or third year of being there. So, yeah.
So just now, as you all were sharing, I think one thing that you all really brought out was the availability of like friends and mentor figures. So I thought maybe I can ask that a bit more, right? Because I think that for you guys, it'd be good if you can share like your own perhaps like thoughts or experiences in finding these like common friends, or if they pop by, were there some kind of like initial you got to overcome to let people come into your life, you know? Were all of them like positive about your relationships, those kind of things? That means the not so rosy side, like some of the challenges you face. Because I think one thing that maybe some of us, actually myself also face, is that we are interested in someone who don't share any common friends with us. Right? So I think in that case, right, when you have this kind of situations, like, you know, how do you actually go about it?
Are you giving us hints?
Yeah. So maybe you can share more on those kind of experiences and thoughts, if there are any.
So your question is how, like, as couples, you have, like, in finding community, is it? The difficulty in finding community.
You all shared quite pretty good positive examples. So were there maybe some sort of challenges involved? Yeah.
I mean, even not in church, right? When we hang out with friends and then as singles, then suddenly they get attached. So, I mean, you can always invite the person, you know, be nice to the person or not be, and like basically in your own coupley world lah, right? So I think that, I mean, even his JC friends, the four of them hang out a lot, and there's always movement in the girlfriends, right? So we are the, you know, not committed ones, but they are the four committed ones, and every time when there's a new girl along, you'd be like, do I like the girl or not? Or like, should I be nice? So, I mean, but over time we got very close. So I think the challenge is that you need to know, you are gonna be your boyfriends or husbands have to hang out anyway. So you know, if you make friends with each other, it's gonna be a lot more enjoying. Yeah, you enjoy each other's company.
I think actually, there, for me personally, I don't think there were that many challenges in finding community or older people to talk to. And so when I was in the US, naturally I would also find older guys or older girls that the girls were already attached to the guy. And then needed to qualify. And then, you know, even while I was away from them, different time zones and all that, if I needed someone to talk to, they were there with me. And I think what made it easy for me to find that kind of, you know, people and friends, was she was one of the first people that I would talk about whenever I would have conversations with people. So one of the first things we'll talk about is like, you know, what I'm studying, blah, blah, blah. And then I'll be like, oh yeah, I have a girlfriend back in Singapore. And then that would naturally perk their interest. So I think that helped a lot. I feel that my own personal opinion is that if I was the kind of person that was very, you know, I kind of like don't want to talk about my relationship, not that I was hiding anything, but I was just naturally a bit, you know, shy, then that would make finding that community a little bit harder. Yeah.
I think I can imagine how some people will have very like difficulties, like especially like maybe say you're from different churches or different belief system, different set of friends. I can imagine that will happen as a perfectly common experience. I have a lot of friends going through that experience. But my personal experience was that it wasn't so much that it was difficult to find a community of friends. It's within that community of friends, how authentic were you willing to be? And how much of the ugly side of your relationship were you willing to bear, put it on the table and say that, hey, you know, actually I have all these problems. Can you, you know? And I think that was the more difficult part. And I think even with the closest of persons, right, it wasn't the easiest task. Because, I mean, like, Like, who likes to bear your nonsense to other people? It's not like the most exciting experience. So I think that for me, that was the difficulty. And even if we had a common group of friends, I think we didn't have the same kind of privilege in that we had a couple that we could turn to. There were couples that we could speak to, but maybe not at the same frequency. Yeah, and they helped us tremendously, immensely. But I guess when you ask me, like, people that I'm most accountable to, like, whatever I share with her, it may not directly affect our relationship in that sense. It's really, for the most part, it's really like downloading, just putting it down and, you know, let your thoughts air out, and then such that you have a lot more clarity. So whatever feedback I get from her may not necessarily get translated to him either. So it's a lot like, sometimes I have input, sometimes he has input on his end, and sometimes if the input is uneven, then you also progress slightly unevenly as well. Yeah, so I think my experience was like that, yeah.
I think my experience is that a lot of things I desire, there wasn't any. Like, I think when we were together, we were hoping there could be like a couple could mentor us. We never found any. She think have lah. For me, maybe see, this is the thing, right? Different idea of what.
Oh, that, you know why? No, because usually the couple that we find, right, the lady in the relationship, they're very enthused about like talking to me, you know. But the men usually, they're quite chill. They just like relax. In our experience, like, yeah. So maybe that's why the experience is a bit different, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe for me, yeah, there really isn't much. But there were people that we can go to. Like, I know that if I have any trouble, I can go to people that I trusted. Actually, that made us want to very intentionally mentor others. I think that's at least how I felt when we were walking with them. It was very intentional, maybe because we found that lacking. But what helped us was, as individuals, we were in the same community of friends and very thankfully accountable to similar leaders, and that we were able to kind of like talk it out. We have friends that we can bounce off with. Yeah, I know that close to our marriage time, yeah, then that was a time where we really had people who come into our lives, especially when we were preparing for marriage, right, and really give us advice. When we were dating, like, wow, like a trial and error, everything's like trial and error. And you read the Bible, doesn't tell you much, right? Trial and error, lah. But it was helpful that we were able to bounce off with many of our own friends, people who serve together, we know. So I know that for me, like, you kind of know that there were people with similar values to you, and when you go off tangent, there are people who are able to, you know, come to me and say, hey, Vic, that was wrong. Yeah. When I do something stupid, or at least I think in my mind I do something stupid, right? Yeah, then there were people who say, hey, you shouldn't have done that. I think that was helpful. Yeah. So the not rosy side is, yeah, I think we didn't really find any one that we wanted to have. Yeah, I think that's about it.
Okay, we move on to another question. Okay, so what do you think, right, it means to date with marriage in mind? Get all of you to share.
I think to date with marriage in mind. Basically, okay, as the term suggests, you date with marriage in your mind. Like, literally. That is as far as it means. But, obviously, that translates into very different ways, lah, for different people. So for me, when I was very young, to date with marriage in mind meant I date the person and I marry the person. That's it. There was no questions about that. I think for sale also, right? Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right, so we same kind, but that is but one way of looking at it, I feel. Yeah, so literally, so what that meant is that he's the first guy I dated, lah. Yeah, that's it, lah. And then, yeah, I know some people look at me like, wow, like, but it's not really a feat, lah. I'm sure there are a lot of people who have done it, and I think because when I dated, I took it a bit too literally, I think. But for good reasons, I suppose. It did help, I think, because to date with marriage in mind would then mean that you know that you're not going in for a short-term fling or something, like, you know, you'll be done with this person in 2 days or something. Because I do think it's, I'm not saying it's very prevalent or very frequent, but it does happen. Yeah, people, I have a lot of friends who, you know, get in and out of relationships, and it's normal to them, but normal to the rest of the world doesn't mean that it has to be normal for your life, you know, essentially. But for me, to date with marriage in mind, was that then. Is it still the case now? It is still the case now, but I think I would accept a little bit more varieties, which I think they can talk a little bit more about. Yeah. You want to talk about what's to date with marriage in mind?
I can. I know all the opposite, because when I kind of started dating, I didn't date with marriage in mind. I dated because I was... if I confess, I think that there's a fear. A certain fear that, you know, maybe I wouldn't, you know, find anyone. Like, some people can say, well, like, desperate, you know, why. But I had that. So, some people were not there to admit, but I know deep inside me that was the start. It came out of a fear. It came out wanting to, you know, I see a lot of friends I was in, you know, in JC, and like, wow, like, quite cool, like, people got, you know, wow, can go home together, take bus. Like, I was so light, leh. You know, really, that was like, that was what on my mind. And so that was that beginning. Of course, it went like very awfully wrong. When I started to kind of be disciple, understanding God's plan for marriage, I think that was when I seriously thought that, yeah, that was something that I want. But I will say that I have a lot of fear because of the past failures. I think first in my mind was that I just want to do what God wants. Because of my fear in failed relationships, I didn't really want to think about having a relationship until I felt that I was really walking with God. Yeah. So that took a huge... That was something very real for me. I think in short, dating with marriage in mind, for me, right, because this marriage word is very big, I think marriage is not just... like, wow, you sign the paper, finish, then finish lah. I feel that there's a longer thing. Maybe in my perspective, more than just marriage in mind, I think it's like marriage to the end. I think that's more important. So sometimes marriage in mind means that you come then, wow, you have the big, wow, church wedding, and then like, wow, no lah, like not true lah. So for me, I think the fear, the maybe being burned, felt like I wanted to go really all the way, and that helped me to be very clear. And so marriage in mind, I would say the way I would see is really, this is someone that I really want to spend my entire lifetime with. I say that because you all know, some of you know my story. I come from a background where my parents had a very strained relationship, their marriage. So marriage in mind to me is not like, or marry really, then finish, you know, because their marriage went very bad. And I didn't want that. I didn't want that for myself. And therefore, a marriage in mind, to me, that wasn't the model. I was not content when I felt like I wanted to do what God wants me. I wasn't content with just marriage. Like have church wedding and some kind of like wedding. I wanted to see marriage as really all the way, you know, yeah. It's really all the way. That's for me, yeah. Something that in my mind. So very, she took it literally. I took it more like, maybe because of my own experience, my parents. Yeah, a little bit differently, yeah.
I think for me, my parents actually dated each other. I mean, they were their first both boyfriend and girlfriend. So to me, it's my first boyfriend shall be the one I marry. Just like Michelle, very literal, right? So, I mean, to me, it's the commitment. It's having the commitment to work out the issues, to work out the problems. Because there won't be someone who, when you date, will be perfect. There will be a lot of imperfections. But, I mean, it's like, you know how they say that buying a rock or diamond, right? There's a lot of imperfections. But you slowly mold out all the imperfections and you can see what's beneath it. So, I mean, we really had a lot of issues, and we were committed to working out all those problems that we had. And I think another thing is also you date the person that, to me, was to find someone. I mean, we were very young, but it's to find someone that you think you can see yourself together more than 5 years. I mean, for your age, 5 years. Maybe for people who like get together at 25, the next 2 years, right? It's more than the appearance. I mean, at this age, you'll be like, oh, this girl is so pretty. This guy is so handsome. And that's like, I mean, even though we all can laugh about it and say, oh, that's so superficial, but I mean, your emotions are really driving your actions. So it's really more than the emotions, really more than your feelings, your feelings about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll agree. I think dating with marriage in mind, essentially, practically speaking, it would mean in the assessment of the other party and the assessment of yourself, is asking yourself. I mean, this is actually something that we went through at some point during our relationship. Is this person someone that we think that we can marry? I mean, I don't think we have to be in that position where we can say, yes, I can marry. Because if we're in that position, then we should get married, lah. But I mean, because now we're talking about dating, right? I think there has to be a certain questioning and assessment of the other party and yourself as to whether we can stay for the long haul. And I think one other thing that I wanted to add is that something that my very wise thing that my dad mentioned to us quite a while back is that, you know, when you date someone, you should keep both eyes open. But when you marry someone, you should learn to close one eye. But in actual fact, a lot of us, when we date, we're so in love and we start to close one eye. You know, she can do whatever she wants, and I'll be like, okay, lah, never mind. But when we marry, the moment we get married, then I start to open both eyes. I'm like, oh, you're like that one, ah. Got all these weird habits come out, all the flaws. We start nitpicking. But in actual fact, you know, I really think that, you know, when we date, when we're trying to figure out whether we should get married to this person or not, we should keep both eyes open. We should be smart about it. But when we date, when we get married, then, you know, that's where we can learn to give and take.
Can I just, yeah, okay.
You can add. Sure. Close to an eye.
Wife wins, okay.
I think what, like, just to add on to that, like, to understand the concept is, like, to deal with marriage in mind, what it is, I think, most of us can figure out in a very literal sense, but what it doesn't mean is that it doesn't mean that you have to marry the person. So therein lies the question of how then do you reconcile these two ideas? How do you reconcile the idea that you date with marriage in mind, but you don't actually have to marry the person? So because they look like they're dichotomous, right? But they actually aren't. The idea is this, like when you date with marriage in mind, because if you date with marriage in mind in the sense that you have to marry that person, then it's as good as an engagement. It's not really dating anymore. You get what I'm saying? But you deal with marriage in mind in that you treat the other person honorably as you would in a marriage relationship. So it's very important then first to decipher what then are the values that you need to have in what you think should be in a very positive and very strong marriage relationship. So in that course of that dating, with that value system in mind, you date. You get what I'm saying? But in the course of doing that, you might find that there are some areas that might not be compatible. So let's use a very extreme example. For instance, one wants to go and do research in the USA. The other one's like, no, I am patriotic Singaporean. I'm going to stay here. You dated with marriage in mind. You are very, very serious about one another. But, you know that it's not going to work out at least in the next 10 years. So you don't get married. It's okay. Okay, this is a very extreme, very pragmatic example. There are other ones that you realize that there are certain habits you realize that you cannot take this very strange habit. This person has a very odd habit, like, give me an odd habit. What an odd habit. What's an odd habit?
Like one has a very light. Good example.
I mean, obviously they love each other so much, you don't have an odd habit. But,
and she won't say my odd habit.
Let's not expose him in public. Let's say this person has a really, really odd habit. Like, this person is very messy and you are a very neat person.
That's me.
I marry him, like, I'm quite good, right? So, so let's say you really cannot take it and you realize that, hey, you know, I'm very serious about this person. I treat you as honorably as I can, but I really cannot take your messiness. Okay, then you don't get married, lah. Really, like, there's no point getting married and then fighting every day, right? But you think that, hey, this person is very messy. I think I can live with it, lah. Okay, okay, you can. I think you can go ahead and get married. I mean, that's in my head how I understand it, lah. And I can imagine there might be variant explanations to this, but with the value system in mind. So, in other words, you work backwards. The values in marriage, what is it that you want, and then to date with those values in the conduct of your relationship to decide, okay, if we are in it for the long haul. And a very pragmatic example is that if you really can't even see marriage in mind, like if you're like, I don't know, 10, 12, you can't see marriage in mind, no need lah, you have a lot of time. Well, there's no hurry, it's okay, yeah. So in that very pragmatic sense, I mean, you apply it on yourself. If it that you cannot see marriage in mind, then I'm sorry, you have to wait for a little while if you want to be holy. Okay, yeah, so that's why
the younger group is asked that.
Yeah, they cannot hear this one. They may be very upset.
But maybe I can just to kind of clarify, that Miss Michelle is saying that we should hold the two things in tension. On the one hand, you don't be too flippant about the relationship, but on the other hand, you also hold it quite loosely, knowing that if it cannot work out in the marriage, you are prepared to let go, right? Okay, Vic, you have something to add as well?
Yeah, I just share this sort of, there's something very real. When I was in full-time, right, being a youth pastor, I remember, and I will say it like frankly and openly, like I enjoy mentoring like couples. I remember I did a couple, like church has premarital counseling. Then I decided I'll do a premarital counseling. So I literally had a, so church setting was six couples. I thought I'd try also lah. So six couples. And most, I think all of them are leaders, these 12 people, right? In a youth ministry or in a young working adult ministry. Come to our place and we went through, I think, what, 5 weeks? 6 weeks?
Yeah, something like that.
Right?
4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks. Very serious, you know? Like, wow, we talk about what dating is about. How do you really, you know, work through in a relationship? So like all of them, in my mind is like, wow, I believe that they're going to work out. I'm just strengthening them. But out of the six, and all mature people, only two couples end up marrying. The other four broke up. Yeah. And but, so what I'm saying basically, is that even if you date with marriage in mind, which I believe those six did, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it will work out. And I totally believe that this is something we can aim for, but it's about keeping our eyes open and it's about assessing where we are at. And it's not really about like, wow, going means like it's an engagement. It's not true. And I think this is where wisdom comes in. Wisdom, when in a relationship, you really need a lot of wisdom, more than just the emotions. The emotions keep that kind of the desire alive. But you need wisdom to learn how to deal with all the challenges in a relationship. So I'll just share this, okay? Because I don't want you all thinking like, wow, oh, next person is going to confirm, chop, stamp, marry. Not necessarily true.
We're going to round up this first segment. So there's speakers, do you have anything you want to add before we go? Okay, if not, what we're going to do is that we're going to have a 10-minute break. And this 10-minute break is for us to fill in our questions, right? Because after this, I'm not going to throw them any more questions, probably not. Right? But we're going to take time to answer your questions. So as they are sharing, I think you might have different kinds of questions in mind, right, to what they shared. So do you all see the question box? Right. So what you can do is that during this 10-minute break, you can just go to get paper and then just write. Please make sure you write legibly, right? Otherwise, you'll not be able to read out what your questions is. Fill it out as soon as you can before you go for your toilet break and so on and so forth, so that at least we can start to look through them first. Is that okay? Right. Besides the question box, later on, we might give some time for people to ask questions through the open mic as well, right? But I think most of you will find it easier to ask through the paper, right? So if you need paper, just go and you can just put it in before we end the break. Right, so now the time should be around 7. Shall we come back by 7:10? Okay, can we just give our speakers a round of applause again?
Accountability can be taken in many kind of contexts. Context is very important. So like now I do business, accountability, it's about like how I spend the money, right? And you know, in school you have to be accountable to teachers for certain things. But when we talk about, let's say, BGR, and I, especially in a, let's say, church context, I think we are talking about accountability in the area of discipleship, where someone who you are accountable to has the right to say to you, without you feeling offended, that that decision could be not pleasing to God, or could be pleasing to God. And it cuts both ways. It's not always about wrong things. It could be something that you do and there's ability to celebrate. So I think when you stand in, I like the way my wife put it. I take it the same way, where my accountability in the sense of when you stand in front of God, it's like he can say, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. Right? He can have that to say to you, and he can say something that, hey, that was not right. That was not according to what I called you to do. You know, and you, there was disobedience. And I think that's something that it's very real. Now, having said that, I think accountability has to be in the form of maturity, which means that I imagine that the people who are accountable to me, at the end of the day, they have the right to make a choice. It's a very it's the same idea that God giving us the parameters, but the choice is ours. And I think that's something very important. So if you are, you know, people are accountable to you, do take note, right? Yeah. You're not God. But you have the right to be able to say to them that was off. And then I think if you choose to be accountable to people, you must have that ability to accept that the people you're accountable to say to you that, hey, that was not right. And that should be done another way. And it's for your consideration. And when I mean consideration, it's not like that I go and think about try eat chicken rice or eat duck rice, that kind of consideration. It's really, really prayerful and serious consideration.
Can I add a bit more? So in terms of the form of accountability, I suppose this question is asked in the context of a BGR, right? So accountability can come in the form of couple to couple, it can come in the form of individual to individual. And I think you might want to... I think the reality of the matter is that sometimes you may not find someone that you're fully comfortable and fully accountable to. And I think there's a tension that we have to wrestle with, maybe not just now, but for this lifetime. Yeah. So I think to look for perfect accountability, I mean, if there's someone that you can really put it all out there, I think it's great. But if you can't, I think it's also a certain search that you don't need to, like, pressurize yourself to find that one person that you can tell everything. Not everybody wants to hear everything about you, actually. Yeah, so I think you need to find the right person as well. Yeah.
Sorry, just one last thing. Because we are in church context, and I used to be youth pastor. So we always say, like, wow, I must tell my cell leader. Then then got a supervisor, then got tell pastor. I could tell a lot of people, you know, like that. Right? And I think what we need to be very clear about, it's... accountability can come in different forms. There are those that you choose, and very clearly it's your choice, people that really mentor you. You choose to go to them and say, I want to be accountable to you. Right? But there's a place where church leadership, right? That's, you know, and when you operate, you know, and you, this church, it's yours, and so someone like Pastor Peter, you are, in a sense, you are accountable to him. You can't just say, you want to do anything you like. If you choose to be a member of this church, I think it's very important that, you know, you also understand what we advocate, me as a church. And while that not necessarily is the law, God's word is still the law, but I think having accountability to our leaders and to people that are above us will help you to understand the state of your heart. If you choose to be hiding, you know very well that your idea of accountability is the thing I like, then I share. The thing I don't like, I don't share. Then I think that is something that you need to think about. If you are like really like, hey, I'm an open book, it's like God knows everything, then I think that being accountable to the leaders that we are, and they might not be in a certain way, you feel that equipped to deal with, for example, BGR, I think you don't have to necessarily go to them for advice, but I think importantly is that don't need to hide from them. Accountability means that you can be open, right, and say that, hey, so for example, let's say I'm accountable, and it could be a peer, right? Let's say this leader is a peer, and I don't feel that maybe this person is a good person to talk with. I think it's okay to go to this person and say, hey, actually, I'm exploring a relationship, but I feel like maybe there's some, I need to talk to someone else about it, but I just want to let you know, right, I'm exploring a relationship, or I'm in a relationship. I think it's important to be able to lay that down, right, because at the end of the day, I think, yeah, I believe all the leaders who are called to serve, we all love, and they all care for you, right, so I just want to share that, yeah.
We actually got quite a lot of good questions, so maybe what we'll do...
Number two.
Yeah, we just try to move along as fast as we can. Maybe one or two can answer each question. And then if any question you feel not very well clarified, you can just go to the mic later.
But very good question, whoever is...
Okay, let's move on to the next one. Yeah.
Can couples travel together even if they stay in separate rooms? Huh? Y'all travel a lot, right?
They are the experts.
Yeah. I think everybody, I don't know, who likes to travel here? I mean, I really like to travel. Both of us love traveling, and of course the constraint was how do we travel? To us the stance was we won't travel alone. We made it very clear from the first day, and it was really hard. He was studying in the US, and I was a student then, and you know, I want to know how his life in the US was like, his friends.
She wants a spot check on me.
No, I mean, I was also like a phantom to his friends in the US. They heard a lot about Steph, and like I had to appear in front of them, and they say, oh, so you're real. You know? So, I mean, it was, I wanted to be there, to at least see his friends once, and then, you know his school, know his surroundings. I want to be part of it. But how do I get there all the way to US and find friends? It was really a very difficult question. And so to us was whenever we travel, whenever we want to travel, we actually ask all our friends, be super thick skin and ask like, hey, you want to go traveling with us or not? Like, oh, I really want to go Vietnam. I mean, I went to Vietnam for my grad trip and I was asking around like everybody like, go Vietnam with us. Vietnam very fun. So I mean, you also have to learn how to do your marketing skills. You know, try to sell it to your friends, think of like-minded friends, and say like, hey, Vietnam, okay, let's on. So I mean, like in the end, we really God has been very good. Every time we want to travel, we will manage to find friends who want to travel with us. And actually, it's a very good time, like what we said earlier, right? You build a community from there, because when you travel, you have shared memories. You do a lot of you go through pleasant and unpleasant memories together, but we all grow out of it. Yeah.
Yeah, we are a big fan of traveling, and we are a big fan of traveling together, clearly. But before marriage, I think there's a lot of, the question really is, should a couple travel together alone or not? And I think the concern isn't what happens behind closed doors, necessarily, in the hotel room or whatever. But it's a question of, you know, if you're young and I want to get to know a country, I want to get to know this person better, what's stopping me from getting to know going to travel together with other friends? So I think that's the bigger thing to bigger question to answer in a way. And it's helped us a lot to be able to have those shared memories with friends and family around us.
Okay, maybe the next question. I think this one got a lot of other similar questions, right? The question is, how do you know you are ready to date? Example, age. Okay, this one can have more than one person answer. Yeah, I think
how do you know?
Yeah, a lot of people are dying to ask this question.
How do you know you're ready?
How do you know you're ready to date?
Ask yourself, leader.
You know it, you just know it.
I think we started dating when we were 18 years old. And frankly, maybe we can take a step back. How many of you guys here are dating? Can you see a raise of hands?
And don't mind raising your hands.
No, and raise your hands. Oh, so actually you guys should be asking all these people. They all know. But okay. I mean, to answer the question, when as a youth, I'm just putting myself back when I was 18, I didn't know. I didn't know whether I was ready. Frankly speaking, I just wanted to date Steph because I wanted to get to know her a little bit better. So I think what really helped me understand whether I was at the right time to get into a committed relationship was actually being able to talk to people. Talk to my leaders, talk to Vic, and they will ask whatever questions they want to ask, and that helped me to think. And that helped me to, in a way, internalize whether I was ready or not. So actually, I didn't share that we actually got together first time in when we were 18, after at the end of J2. And we got together for a short while, and then we got together for a few hours. Then we decided, okay, this isn't working. Because for some reason, we felt very weird.
I mean, it was quite funny. The day we actually got together, we bumped to Michelle. Like, very randomly, we bump into her, Esplanade. And actually, we bump into, a whole bunch of leaders. But, I mean, they weren't the cause of us, retracting our relationship. But we went back to pray. And we felt like God was saying very clearly to us, no, you guys should wait. So we actually, called each other. I mean, it was very hard, right? I think we should break up. And it was a good thing that he felt exactly the same.
Yeah.
God spoke to him and it just clicked that way.
Yeah, so fast forward 1 year after that, I think, obviously we spent 1 year talking and praying and thinking, you know, are we ready for a relationship? And then through that process, we figured that, okay, let's give it a shot. So it's a valid question, and I think it's a very good question, but it's not a question that we can expect to answer then. I think it's a journey, and it's you need time to think and walk it through with other people. Yeah.
How about Vic, Mitch?
I think when we talk about ready, we can go back to the idea of, are you ready to consider marriage? But that's a bit of a textbook answer, right? Now, I think, because you see, right, let's say you want something very pragmatic, right? It's 19, okay. Is 24 better? Or can I date at 15 years old? Am I ready? Now, today, right, in this day and age, in a very Christian society, Christian community, they will tell you, maybe when you're ready, financially you're ready, okay, then you can consider marriage already, Singapore. But you backdate maybe 50 years, people are ready at 19 years old, they got married then, what? Are they not ready? So I think context is quite important, and the issue of readiness, I think, needs to be contextualized, right? And that's why I think the question of, are you ready to date with marriage in mind is still valid in that context, right? That is a very good, I think, base point to start with. But the other thing I think is maybe as a litmus test, I'm not sure how far you'll withstand the test, but I think if you are at the point where you say that you know that if you search deep in the deep, at the deepest part of your heart, you will know that actually, if you can say that you're not ready, then I think you better take a step. If you cannot say with full confidence that I'm ready now, then I think don't. If you want to be very sure, very sure. I'm quite sure if you go as deep as you can, right, you have a certain inkling. It may not be the answer, it may not work for everyone, but I think a good number of us can have an inkling of whether we are or not. But otherwise, if, you know, it really doesn't work for you, it makes no sense to you, I think back to the principle of, are you ready to date with marriage in mind? If you are, then I think maybe it's a good time. Yeah.
So for our context, the generic one, or maybe you want to give certain examples for yourself or somebody you know, so that you can have a better picture what you know you mean by when you talk about understanding the context.
My personal experience was that my personal experience is not very exciting. I think I actually woke up one day and decided that, yeah, I'm 20. I think I'm going to date now. I am not kidding you. That's why I tell you, you find it very weird. Yeah. I think maybe that's how my brain is wired. I think maybe in a very decisive way, I decided that, maybe not time yet. No, don't come and talk to me about relationship. Just stay far, far away from me. Okay? If you want to talk about relationship, please go that way. Okay? And I can still remember the moment that I literally said, okay, I think now can already. Yeah. But that was my experience. It's a bit unique.
Then I turned out.
Yeah, actually he turned out at the right time. Timing is very important. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit frivolous, but that was my experience. It might not be the model, but it was an experience that somebody went through. But I think we need to hear from the other context now. Like, yeah, it's really just one experience.
Okay, I guess I come from a point whereby I didn't know that. I shared you just now as honesty. There's a certain fear that drives me. In a sense, when I started to go into a relationship or wanting to go into a relationship with someone else, I had another fear that drives me. And I know that as cliche as it sounds, I literally understood what the fear of God means. And it's because I literally felt I messed up someone's life. Right? And for a guy, the context was that I saw my parents' relationship and I tell myself, I can't. You know, like, it's a human being. I can't mess up someone's life. So I literally have a certain, it's like maybe what Michelle said, is like, well, you go to the deepest of heart and ask yourself, really, are you ready for this? And I think when we have that kind of fear of God, you might not have a huge understanding of what the fear of God means. But I think just that start, that seed, right, saying that, God, like, I do not want to do anything that will make you angry, that will upset you, that will grieve you. I think that seed that is in that heart, right, when it comes forth, I think it's very powerful, personally. Right, and I think that with that, I decided, of course, that there was a journey again of discovering. I can tell you pragmatically, yeah, there's an age. I tell people, I joke, you know, when I'm going to date, then I pray, you know, God, you know, I stay in Boon Lay, you know, like, can I find a girlfriend at maximum distance until Tiong Bahru? Right, yeah. So, but she stayed Tiong Bahru at Marty, wow, sure. So like, sometimes when you have a fear of God in mind, right, God can answer. Yeah, but again, the qualify is, I literally work through that. You know, you can have there can be many practical things, but that's not the most important, right? Those are at a level, I think that we need to sort out what is the deeper thing and how to know that you are ready. I think the deepest thing is asking yourself, like, are you in a place where you honor God? You understand what's honoring God? You know what it means to honor your parents? And what does it mean to have that fear of God in you? I think that's those questions can be asked synonymously or in parallel with this question, am I ready to date? You know, and so if you don't know what's the fear of God, right? I suggest then you answer these two questions together, right? And then that'll be a good test. That'll be a good something that might be helpful. That's my own thoughts.
Yeah. So I think if to sum up, let me know that it is basically that you take God seriously in your life to have that as a sort of like a basis. Maybe in our midst there might be some people who are not Christians. In actual fact, we are just saying that we need God in our lives, and in addition for yourself, maybe it's really about whether have you come to this place where you take relationships seriously. That can be a start, right? So we all acknowledge that it's not an easy question, but it definitely cannot be a play thing. Okay, anything you want to add? If not, we move on. Okay, next question is something that I can identify with. If I'm single, how do I find the right one?
Did you write the question?
Not me. Maybe I incepted someone to write the question.
If you're single, how do you find the right?
Join the Camcom.
Yeah, I'll go on mission trip.
Go Camcom, mission trip, and then that's a good start already, I think.
Surf in church.
Well, I think it's the same as the question goes back to how do you make friends, right? And it's just as simple as that, right? You go and meet people, and then hopefully out of those people groups that you're meeting, you get a group of people that you're comfortable with, and out of that maybe someone will show up.
I mean, you don't go around hunting for the like. Let's say I'm a girl, like this is the guy. I think this one can. No, go and talk to the person, right? You're just making friends. So I mean, really is go and find a comedy. I mean, in church we also encourage people to serve. We encourage people to do outreaches. So just be part of that and naturally, you know, make friends and then see someone will come along. Yeah.
I think I'm not sure if I would agree that this is a question that should be asked. As in, I would like to suggest that how does this question actually... I mean, okay, there's dating apps these days. You can use that very practical steps. You can find the right one. You can go shopping. You talk to somebody. You find the right one. But what then is the right one? What is this right one that we are talking about? I think this goes back to the idea of like, if this means that you think that there's a right one out there, then this, my question is that, is there then a right one? Yeah, I think for this question to stand, that notion has to stand first. So I think that to find the right one, there are some hows, there are some ways you can do it, but I think that maybe we need to ask the question of whether there is such a thing as a right one, which I will leave my friends to expound on.
Maybe before that, I just want to make a note that we answered quite a few key questions. So maybe after this, I think it's good for us to have a pause to allow you to clarify on anything that you have heard. Right? So later, I'll just give you some time that you can just go to the mic, right, and ask. Anyone wants to reinforce this question?
I think it's quite important, like, you think about what do you want. I think, like, for friends that are not attached at, like, 30 years old, right, it's very normal we ask them, like, so what are you looking for in a spouse? And they actually can name, like, I mean, of course, Christians will always say, oh, someone who loves God. But actually, more than that, they have a certain preference. And, I mean, not saying that, oh, the girl must be very beautiful, you know. But it's really things that you feel like, oh, you know, I'm very interested in art, or like I'm interested in design. You want the person to have a common interest. So it's really to define what is the foundation and what are the most important things that you would hope the person have. And then that is a starting ground for you to play. Yeah.
Okay, can I just maybe see by a show of hands, how many of you have questions that you want to ask to clarify? Because we can... Yeah. One? Any more? Okay.
Two. Yeah.
Okay, why don't you all just come forward to the mic and ask? Yeah. Yeah. Esther first. Then meanwhile, the rest can just queue up. Yeah, so when you go up, maybe you can just introduce your name and, yeah, ask the question. Come? Esther first? Yeah. To save time, those who want to ask, maybe you can just, like, hang around nearby and queue up first.
What do I say?
The name and just ask the question. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Esther. Actually, your question about the right one, right? I was wondering, we believe that God each has a destiny for each of us, right? So, do you believe that there's like only one absolute right person for you in this world? And if so, what happens if the person doesn't choose you? Or is it like five choose one? You know, like there are five people. Yeah.
Thank you.
Or one choose five.
One choose five. One choose five.
Is there the one?
I think the short answer is no. There isn't that one person for you. Because as Pastor Benny Ho would say, if you line everyone up A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, and all the way, right? If A is supposed to marry B and C is supposed to marry D, the moment you just get one guy to screw up, B marries C, then likelihood everyone in the world is just going to lose out on God's destiny, right? Which can't be the case. And I think God is more sovereign than to make one person marry one person. One person to be able to fulfill destiny by only marrying this other person. I think if you choose to marry another person, you know, God's destiny can still work out through that decision. So yeah, that's my thoughts.
Is that okay, Esther? Next. Right. Whoever else wants, maybe you can just stand nearby so that we know how to gauge.
Okay, so two things. First thing first is regarding the right person question. I also have my own thoughts. The first thought is, we can expound, but I also want to share some of my thoughts. The concept of having a right one, right? Actually, if we don't have the right perception of it, right, this concept might cause some people to have unrealistic expectations of their partner, The moment this person is less than a saint, you might say, oh, you are not the right one, and then you just dump the relationship. I think that's very unfair. In fact, my take is, we do away with this concept, or rather we don't pay so much attention, we don't give it undue attention to it, but rather we, because every relationship you work with the other partner to make it successful, so does that really show that, because the right one means that it's a one-sided thing, so I don't think that's fair lah. Second thing, I mean we can expound on that of course. The second thing, I think is
so
a question,
so your question
for,
is moving on to your
yeah,
question right?
The question, moving already. So the question is to understand what is marriage, having a dating with marriage in mind, right? What are some of the key considerations that we have to think about before we think that we have a right concept of what having a marriage in mind is? Yeah.
You need clarification?
Okay. So your question is, what are the key considerations for marriage? Or...
I mean, it's very easy to say whether I have a marriage in mind or not.
Yeah.
Very easy for a lot of us to say that. But what is some questions that will
can
help
ask,
us to
yeah.
determine whether we have the right concept? Yeah.
Okay, okay. What are some questions you get? You have anything to show? Anything? Yeah, I'm supposed to go first when everybody keeps quiet. That's the rule. I think when what it means to date with marriage in mind is... what I think would have worked and may worked for us was, do you have a common base point that you can return to? That's number one. Okay, why do I say that? And what does base point, what do all these words mean? I use the example, a pretty extreme example. Let's say you're in a dating relationship, and if you date with marriage in mind, and if you don't date with marriage in mind, so let's use that contrast for understanding. If you date without marriage in mind, it could mean that you are dating a person because you have some level of interest in this person, you go out. But if you don't have a common base point, it is quite easy for you to drop the relationship, like, in the sense that, I think this person frustrates me very easily, annoys me very easily, so I can drop this person. But if you date with marriage in mind, it can play out in that, okay, we have a common base point, we fight very hard, but we have a common base point, let's use a common example, certain value systems from Bible, some value lah, to treat one another honorably, okay? Right? Let's say you have that common base point. I think that that can be an example of what it means to date with marriage in mind. So the question is, you ask, do you have a common base point that you can return to? You might not have the answers, but is there a base point that you can go to seek out those answers, those responses, that you can conduct yourself in a way that treats the other person honorably? Okay? I hope that made some sense.
Yeah. I'll add on, because I'm quite pragmatic, but yet I believe in God guiding us. So I like to ask this question, and I think about this question a lot. What does responsibility mean to you? And are you ready to be responsible in this relationship that will last your life? Because very simple, because it's just very simple things. Right? I date Michelle. The question is, am I able to show her that in different areas of my life, I'm responsible enough? Right, the way I manage my finances. Well, a lot of people just go for holiday. I don't know how they spend the money. Maybe they save a lifetime and then they just do that. They don't think about the finances. But when I want to go into a marriage, hey, it's the money is not just going to just drop down from the air. Many people marry because maybe parents are very rich and got a lot of money. I don't have. So I'm very clear that I need to be responsible. Right? And something that I think about is, do I have a stable job? Or am I like jumping job? Just jump and then I want and I jump. Now. Do I show her that I'm someone that she, you know, like, she can not just trust. Trust is a very big word, but can I demonstrate to her that I can be responsible? Right? And the second thing is, can I be responsible for my behavior? Right? And when I do something wrong, right? Do I have that humility to own up and say, hey, I'm sorry. Right, so there's conflict resolution. You date, you confirm fight one. But I think at a question that I asked to prepare myself for that is, hey, am I responsible enough to take ownership of my own mistakes? Or like, I just want to siam, you know, like a lot of people only know how to point finger, but hey, how responsible am I? And I think, if you think about this area of responsibility, very good check, ask your parents, ask your people around you. Yeah, I'm not very good with a lot of household matters, but I think that, you know, it's not about being perfect, but being responsible, I think is something that you ask your parents, you will know a very clear answer, number one. Second, you can ask, if you don't have that avenue, you can ask your leaders, right? How the way you conduct your own life, the way you look at people, do you feel that you are someone who exhibit this idea called responsibility? Right? I think that's something that, just for Genting, to answer Genting's question, I think that's something that is very big for me at least. Yeah.
Yeah, I should add a bit more to this. Not something I came up with, something I heard. I think it's a little bit of an extreme example, but let's say you want to date this person with marriage in mind. I think maybe a question you could ask is, if this person got handicapped, you know, something happened, would you still want to date this person? Because I think the truth is that if you get into marriage and this person gets into an accident, loses a limb or something, I mean, to death do us part, right? You stay on with this person. So I'm not saying that it will happen, but I think it's a good litmus test for you to test the condition that you're in, your state of mind. So if this person were to lose some kind of physical ability, were to be made redundant, would you just date this person? If you would, then I think there's some idea of dating and marriage in mind. Yeah.
Okay, the next question is, how do you know when to let go of the relationship? How do you know when to let go of the relationship? The similar questions are just passed. Right, so where they are thinking, are you doing okay?
We're not experts in letting go. Why you ask this question? Sing song, let it go. You want to add anything first?
So, Sia is my second girlfriend. So I had to let go once, and just going back from my past experience, how I let go was actually, how did I do it? Actually, I mean, to be frank, for me, how me and that girl at that point in time, how we decided to call it off was because we began to realize that the relationship wasn't leading us closer to God. It wasn't leading us closer to our family. It wasn't leading us closer to our friends, and church community, of course. So, I don't think in that kind of relationship. I think if it's a relationship that's drawing us away from the things that we know is good, then, you know, it's time to reconsider. I shouldn't say reconsider, but if the relationship is already somewhat strained at a point in time, then, you know, you might want to think, you know, is this girl or is your partner able to bring you closer to the things that are good? And in this case, it's God and church. So by the time I managed to answer those questions, I was quite ready to let go, and so was she.
Let me answer this, okay? Yeah, let me move on. There must be a certain assumption when you come to this question. How do you know when to let go of the relationship? The assumption must be that when you go in the relationship, you have done your preparation, you have prepared yourself, you deem that you are ready for a relationship. You know, if you go to it like very flippantly, right? And then this is quite an easy question. Right? The easy that you go in, the ease that you go in, I think the ease that you can go out. But often the question, I think the real question is, like I take a lot of time to pray, I'm very serious about it. I go in a relationship, but inside you feel like, hey, it's not working out, right? To me, it's no different from like if you are studying in JC, like you're doing very badly. Should I change my subject combi? You know, it's like this question, these kind of questions are, it's that you take a lot of consideration. I don't think it's some formula to it. If we assume that you go to it knowing that, hey, somehow when you go into it, you feel like, yeah, you have done the due diligence, the kind of process that you pray, you went in, but somehow, you know, people change, right? We go in a relationship, people change. And if your partner happened to somehow change for the worse, and you, it's not something you can anticipate, you look forward to. Right? At some point, you come to this place, you ask yourself, can I tolerate that? Because you haven't married yet. Different. That's why I think what Chi-Cheng said, very good. When you date, right, open your eyes big, you know? Right? You get married already, yeah, you have to learn to close on eyes. But before you enter into a marriage, you have that choice. Yes, and you need to really ask yourself, what is those things that is the deal breaker, we call it, right? What is the deal breaker? How do you know when to let go? Well, if he, let's say I'm a guy, right? Let's say I realize that Michelle went to do something against my back with another guy. Wow, and gone nah. Okay, I mean, that's an extreme example. But you know what I'm saying? Some people that go against and do something that you know that, wow, okay, I can't take it. If you're a girl, it's like, the guy, you know, went and do something foolish, and you know that, hey, like, why did this guy do that? When I started dating him, I know that he's not like that. That's a huge consideration. So I think I'm just laying down very, very clear matters. That's how I put it. If not, if it's just preferences, differences, then the skills is more a skill set to know how to communicate, to have conflict resolution. That is something you experience even with friends. So if you don't even, let's say you fight with friend, like your one day your good friend, the next day like something happened and you're like, I'm not close to you anymore. Then I think your idea of friendship, like, well, you even friendship you struggle lah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think there's something very real for a lot of people. Well, you fight, then suddenly, one best friend for one whole year, then suddenly, we are not close anymore. So why? Well, we fought. Huh? We fought once, then after 1 year, very close friend, then not close friend anymore. And that's the issue, right? And so I just want to lay that down.
Evan, this will be our last question for the floor, all right?
Sorry, my name is Andrew. I was wondering if the answer changes if the question is flipped. What if you encounter either a culmination of problems or a deal breaker presents itself? How do you know to decide that you should carry on? Yep.
Can you repeat that?
So you just answered the question, how do you know when it is to let go, right? What if the question is flipped? So if, let's say, something happens, either a culmination of different things or a particular deal breaker occurs, how do you know that it's the right choice to keep going?
If I would come across that question, and if it were in my life, I think my approach to it would be, you just decide. You make a decision and you stick with it. And I think if your decision is governed by the idea that you are committed to working something out, then I think naturally you will move on. But if you have decided that it's a no, then, I mean, it's quite straightforward. It's painful, but it's straightforward. So I think it's the way I will handle it is based on a decision. Yeah. Obviously, like, it might take a while to decide. It might take concerted times of consideration, thinking, perhaps in solitude, praying, you know, being in a place where you can seek some kind of comfort. But I feel that at the end of it, right, it's a decision that perhaps has to be peppered with and has been influenced by the lifestyle value choices that you have made along the way prior to that. Yeah. So I that's how I would see it. Yeah.
Actually, I feel that even before the deal breaker happens, there's probably signs in the relationship that already shows a bit of strain. So, I mean, if you already seen the signs that the relationship can't work and then the deal breaker happens, then the question is, going back, can you fix those signs? Can those be worked out? Or you think that, actually, things have been becoming bigger and it can't be walked through anymore. So, I mean, like what Mitch said, it's really, individuals, your individual decision, and yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's very important to make clear that the decision is by no means a very easy one, and I think it's part of the process of, I think when you get into a relationship, you need to be ready to be heartbroken and vulnerable. I think that's the truth of the matter. And I think many of us, I think in the height of the frenzy and love, that might not be your top consideration, but when you're in it, these are some of the things that come along with the package, in that sense. So I guess it's good to then walk into one with your eyes wide open, in that sense, because I think the way you frame your mindset before you get into a relationship has a whole lot of impact on how you react and respond to another person when you're in one. Yeah, that mental preparation. Yeah.
I just want to end off. Again, I say I'm very simple and I don't think too complicated. If you think about your own lifestyle, think about the state of your heart, if you think about your own commitment, your own readiness, for lack of a better word, right? Then basically is that, what's your own choice? How do you work these things through? Are you someone who, when it comes to hardship, you know, you can be resilient? Has that been proven by time? You think about these things. And then basically the very simple idea is, once you step into marriage, that's it, it's for life. So you must first consider that, you know, it's not like how you feel about that moment. It's a lifetime. If you're not able to handle it, yes, you should let go. Because it's not about like, wow, I tahan, because no joke, huh? Marriage is for life, right? Yeah, it's not about being hero, right? And it's about understanding your own limitation. It's about understanding the other person. And I think what Xia says, you know, you don't consider that moment. You consider that whole process. You consider the entire journey, how the relationship has been walking through. You know, you will see the symptoms, you will see the sign. If it has always been very strong and something so unexpected, right? Because we all make foolish mistakes. I know I did. The spur of the moment. Then you need to ask yourself, really, was that a spur of the moment thing? And that, can I accept that? And can I work through with that person? Some of us can. Some of them have a capacity to accept and forgive. And some of us don't. If you're not at that stage, then I think you should just really make a decision and consider. Because marriage is not like something that we just, not like go shopping like that. Marriage is a lifetime. Yeah.
Are you able to hang on for one last question from the box? Can? Can, huh? You just wait for one more. Okay, this question, very good question. Is it true that we are not allowed to date non-Christians? Why? I think it's obviously from a Christian. Ken?
Not allowed by Peter.
Is it true that we are not allowed to date non-Christians? Why?
I was saying, model answer, ask. That's
a test.
Today's supposed to ask you.
I think human beings are made with free will and volition, in that I think the context of the question is comes from a place where there's a prevailing mindset that if you're Christian, I mean, maybe it also sit across churches, that if you're Christian, you shouldn't date a non-Christian. It's a very prevalent mindset. And have I personally seen examples of a Christian marry a non-Christian and live quite happily? The answer is yes. And sometimes they live even more happily than Christians who marry Christians. But I'm not here to try to turn the tables over and say, no, you can marry a non-Christian. Or I don't think the question is a can or cannot question. You can marry anyone you like. It's fine, right? But ultimately, I think the church, perhaps, I can't speak for the church, but this is what I understand. I think the church represents. You can go and check with Pastor Peter later. But I think the church community may have certain guidelines as to what they recommend you to do. Okay, they recommend you to marry a fellow believer, so you have that common base point, hopefully. But there's nothing to say that when you marry that believer, you have that common base point to return to. Really, there's no guarantee in that. It just minimizes the damage, I suppose. Yeah. I would think that maybe the official church stand is to not encourage it. But you think about your life in general, right? Like as a human being, right? I don't think it's a can or cannot thing. Like, it's really not a can or cannot thing. It's a why would you want to do it and why would you not want to do it? I think you realize that a lot of your questions have been answered with questions back, because these are not like tenure series answers. These are questions that are based on principles that you are governing your life with. And I think you, once you have a certain set of principles within your life set in place, then a lot of these questions come answered a little bit more easily, perhaps. Yeah, so I think I'll leave them to add on a little bit more. You have more to throw in?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's not a set answer. There's no set answer for that in a way. And I mean, to whoever asked the question, I think taking a step back and looking at it from a secular point of view, and just bear with me, there's probably a reason why in Singapore we see more Chinese marrying Chinese and why we see more Indians marrying Indians. Very seldom do we see interracial marriages or relationships to begin with. And that's likely because of a common understanding, a common value system that we see that's necessary for a relationship or a marriage. I can speak from experience, like when I was in the US, all the Chinese would still hang out with the Chinese. All the Indians would hang out with the Indians. All the whites would hang out with the whites. So bringing it back to the question that you guys asked, you know, in a relationship and in a marriage, there's already so many things to be working out. There's so many things to be talking through. There's so many things to be getting used to. And what really helps is actually having that same foundation. You know, God is love. God is our first love. And the list goes on. If I throw into the mix, you know, someone who's from a completely different value system, a religion, the religion guides the value system, right? Then being able to have, I think, being able to have a successful relationship and a strong marriage and a strong relationship with God, it just becomes a lot more difficult. So, I mean, that's just my two cents, and if I see it more from a logical point of view.
Okay, I know you've got to end this, but I want to end this by just sharing this, right? This is like, if you read the Bible, it's like God's word has a purpose. God loves us and seeks to protect us. You do the things that God asks us to do, you enjoy blessings. For me, when I look at this question, is it true that we're not allowed to date non-Christians? The Bible says that clearly. But we can have different choice. Is it true that we need to lock our house, you know, when we go out? Nobody says that. It just says that when you do that, your house is protected. You don't want to lock your house, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? So when we ask this kind of question, we need to come and understand what God's word means. And why does he say that? He says that to protect us. There are recommendations given to us. It's like, when you cross the road, check right and left. Don't just cross the road. So when we do these things, we are protected. When we don't do these things, we are ultimately the people who lose out. And that's my perspective. It's not that we can't. I know there are people who, like, just wear their earphone, take the phone, and then cross the road. Wow, that I'm a driver lah. I see these people. Wow, my heart boils. You know, like they don't value their lives. You know, right? It's like I drive on. Like just someone just cross the road. You watch a lot of YouTube. Some people get knocked down. If you don't heed certain advice, then you get hurt. So I think this is a very simple question. The way I answer that is, it's for your protection. I think that's God's purpose as He loves us.
So we will end off here. We hope that you have actually learned something today. Just as a round up, you know, when we really talk about this whole idea of marriage as a possible end point of dating, is to really help us to understand that we should not take it flippantly. All right, when you go into a relationship, we want to encourage you as young people, because we know that you are interested about this, but to go in with a really very keen seriousness, taking it not lightly for your sake as well as for the sake of those that you want to pursue. And I think that when you hear from the people that we have today,
you also hear the importance of just being able to talk to different people, all right, have counsel in your life. So we hope that you have learned something out of this. Okay, I just want to end off with some quick announcements. Now, first of all, we have dinner prepared for you. You all know that, right? So during the dinner time, we have the speakers as well as some other adults to be mingling. I know we do not have enough time to finish all the questions. So during the informal time, that can be a time where you can also, you know, share what you have learned or can continue to ask each other questions, right? Including the older ones who have come to join us. The next one is kind of a slide up, please. Right, the next BGR workshop will be 2 weeks later because next week is Chinese New Year. So we'll come back 2 weeks later to have the workshop. It's not a regular youth service time. It's not a regular youth service because there's a usual communion weekend. But we'll still have the workshop, right? So that we are not having too much of a gap. Right, so please take note of that and go and invite your friends. Right, they don't need to buy a ticket. They can just come here. All right, but if you can just inform your cell leader so that we can make the arrangements for dinner. Okay? Have you all enjoyed yourself today? Okay, I think we're all hungry. Okay, why don't we just give our speakers a round of applause. Okay, and before we go, can we just take this time to close and we also thank God for the food. Alright? Father, we just want to thank you for tonight that we can really learn what it means to be honoring towards you even as we learn what it means to have honorable relationships. We thank you for the speakers sharing their lives with us. We pray that you seal everything that we have learned today. And even for questions that we still have, Lord, would you just guide us to godly counsel and to your word so that we can continue to explore and find the questions for ourselves, God. So we thank you and pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen. Okay, shall we all just quickly make our way out to the plaza and continue our fellowship over there?